She's the media maven with her finger on the pulse of the heartbeat of Chicago. If it's happening in the Windy City, she's got you covered. Now here's the lady that puts the fun in fundraising, Candid Candace Jordan.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome. John St. Augustine, my fabulous co-host producer. Are you here?
Well, yeah. I'm here. I'm always here. I feel like I'm hovering about 6 feet away from you at all times.
Listen, I would love for that to be a possibility. Have you whispering my answers to questions in my ears?
Okay.
I would love it. Well, listen, I just want to say this city has been so busy.
Yeah.
We've had Lala. We've had the Ducky Derby, which, by the way, raised over $500,000 for Special Olympics. And I have to tell you the truth, I just got a new puppy from Paws, and she has escaped her cage.
Oh, I hear her.
So we're going to have to get her back in the cage and away from me at my computer. But anyway, so, and MJ the Musical just opened at the Niederlander Theater. We got the VP in town. I mean, you know, what more could you ask for?
I just want to have a good podcast today. That would really be the topping on the cake, right?
Well, we have two very special guests. I am telling you, these two women make things happen. I mean, in the travel scene and in the festival going scene with the arts festivals, two of the most dynamic women I think I know, and I'm so excited to talk to them because there's so much to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And the first lady, Dynamo, that I want to talk to is Amy Amdur. Now, her last name might sound very familiar to people because she is the founder and CEO of Amdur Productions.
Yep.
They have been in business for 40 years producing the top art festivals in around Chicagoland, across the country, award-winning festivals. And this weekend, the Printers Row Art Fest is coming up Saturday and
Sunday.
So,
huge.
Yeah, it's huge. And so this is really timely, and I'm thrilled that Amy carved out some time to talk to us about it. So, Amy, are you there?
I am here with bells on.
Oh, good. Well, thank you for coming on. And, you know, what my burning question to start with is, how did you ever come up with the concept to found? I mean, this is a massive production. What started you on this path?
Yeah, it's a really interesting story. I was right out of college. I graduated from Northwestern, and I went to work for my dad. He was a real estate developer, mm-hmm. and his name is Steve, and one of his projects was redeveloping downtown Highland Park. So I was working with him back in the day when women wore little man suits and little ties and high heels to work, and it was crazy. And when the project was almost ready, I said, what are we going to do to bring people back? Because the project had been a whole square block in downtown Highland Park, mm-hmm. and we needed to get people back into the downtown. Mm-hmm. And he said, you figure it out. And so I thought, you know, I needed something to draw people in. And I thought about painting pink footsteps to make people kind of follow the path. And I thought that was silly. And then I had the idea of breadcrumbs, led me to thinking about artists, led me to thinking about an art festival. So I launched the first festival 40 years ago with 40 artists.
Oh.
And I'd always loved going to art festivals. I had an art background myself.
Yeah.
And the first year was a huge success. And 40 years later, we're one of the top festivals in the country with 260 artists. We run 20 to 30 shows a year, give artists a chance to make a living as an artist, and incubate new and emerging artists all the time and try and do good by the nonprofits we associate with.
Oh, that's one of the parts that I love the most. I mean, when I first heard about your events, the one thing that I really connected with was a partnership that you have with the Chicago, what is it, the Furniture Bank. Tell us how that got it started and tell us what that does at your festivals.
Well, the Chicago Furniture Bank is a 501c3 nonprofit in Chicago, and they are devoted to giving people who've been previously homeless permanent housing, which is so important because this homeless issue is something that I really care about. And what they found is that when people move into an empty apartment, the stick isn't good. People end up bouncing back to the street. Mm-hmm. But when people move into an apartment or housing and they're given a chance to have furniture and art on the walls, there's, I think, like a 33% greater chance that the people are going to stay. Mm-hmm. So we came up with the idea of asking the public to give us their gently used art, the pieces that are under the bed or in the closet or in the basement, the pieces that you had in your college dorm or in your first apartment and you no longer, you know, are, you know, have up on the walls, bringing that gently used art to the festivals. And over the course of the past 3 years, not only have we made financial contributions, but we've given hundreds and hundreds of pieces of art to Chicago Furniture Bank, which they tell us have made a difference.
Oh, it directly. Would have to make a difference. It sounds, it's such a wonderful idea, and I just love it. I mean, I like the fact that, you know, it's obviously a business, but you also have combined a nonprofit element. I think these days that, you know, pure profit organizations, they don't do as well as people that have a philanthropic heart. I mean, I think that you have to see the humanness in businesses before you can wrap your arms around them. At least that's how I feel. How do you feel about that?
I totally agree. And, you know, people are bringing their art to the festivals. You know, it's where we collect the art. They feel so happy that they're going to make a difference in someone's life. So it's a win-win all the way around.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, you've got your Printer's Row Art Fest this weekend. Tell us a little bit about how many years has the Printer's Row Art Fest been in the South Loop, and what can people expect when they go?
Well, that's an excellent question about how long has it been there. And I'm just checking my little cheat sheet. So this is...
You've got one too, huh?
I got a cheat sheet. This is our fifth year of doing the Printer's Row Art Festival. And what makes this festival so special, and it's this weekend, August 12th and 13th, free admission, by the way, Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 5. But what makes this so special is this South Loop neighborhood. The architecture on Dearborn between Polk and Harrison is amazing. This is, you know, from most of the buildings are from a time, you know, when Chicago was, you know, really excelling in this great detailed architectural motifs on buildings. And those original buildings are there. And we're right in front of the old Dearborn station. And in fact, we have an artist named Mark Hirsch who has combined a photograph from the 1930s or so of the Dearborn station with cars on the street. Then he went to that same location and did a modern photograph, and he blends them. So it's a then and now kind of photograph. And it's so interesting. So the art in the show tends to be more kind of quirky and unusual than traditional motifs. And I think that's, you know, because the people who live in the South Loop are just so interesting.
Oh, I agree. And it's such a beautiful historic backdrop. It has to be one of the prettiest art fairs. Now, let me ask you another question. Do you have, like, food and drink vendors there as well? And
of course.
What kind of food?
We have barbecue. We have I'm blanking on all the food.
That's all right.
We have churros. We have Italian. We have the most wonderful Italian ice.
You had me at barbecue.
Empanadas, just delicious. And then there are all these great restaurants on the street with alfresco dining. You can come and you can really make a nice day of it between looking at the art. We have two live music stages with music nonstop, both days from 10 to 5. And then just great art. When you come to the show, you have a chance to really talk to the artists and find out what they were thinking, what their motivation was, what their technique was, and enjoy it on that level as well.
And besides paintings, you know, and oil works, I mean, you have like sculptures and pottery and jewelry. What other types of things can people find there?
Well, you can find wearable art as well. We have an artist, Jennifer Akisi, and she is and Heidi Hess, two Chicago up-and-coming fashion designers who are going to be showing their work. So you can wear the art. We have jewelry, photography, glass, wood, ceramics, paintings, mixed media art, photographs, of course. And you'll see everything from traditional to contemporary.
Oh, gosh. I love it. Well,
and we make a big... It's very important to us that these festivals are accessible. So we call them wheel-friendly. So whether it's a stroller or a wheelchair, everybody's welcome. And we do this in conjunction with the South Loop Neighbors Association. So they'll set up a really interesting booth giving you a kind of a historic perspective on the Printer's Row District.
Oh, I love it. And, you know, I read somewhere that you did something specialty things with kids or for kids, some sort of programming.
Yeah,
Did I
so
read the yeah.
exactly because you know so many people are have you know their children in the city now and you know making the choice to live in the city with kids instead of doing the suburban thing. So what we do is we've asked all the artists if they would be open to being a kids art stop. And what an art stop is this is an artist and who is welcoming kids into their booth. Instead of saying don't touch, they're inviting kids to touch and to ask questions.
Oh,
and the artist will give a quick overview of what their art is, child-friendly. And so you can walk through the festival and look for the really bright handprints that say kids art stop. And, and go into those booths. So we have that. We also have lots of art demos. And that's good no matter how old you are to see how art is being made. So you can see the process as well. And what's nice in this area, we have the farmers market happening right there in the park alongside.
So you can
come for a fresh art. You can come for fresh fruit. So
oh
it's,
my God,
it's
you've got every reason in the world to go to that festival.
Yeah,
well, you have so many of them. What you just had the Millennium Art Festival, the Gold Coast Art Fair. What are some other ones that you front down around town?
Yes, so we've had a number of great festivals. We started in May, which seems like so long ago. We started with Lincoln Roscoe Art and Craft Fair over on Lincoln Avenue. We've been in downtown Northbrook. We've been in Barrington and Deerfield. We've been in Grant Park. Before Lollapalooza came in, we were in the same location with the Gold Coast Art Fair.
So
that was Father's Day weekend. As you mentioned, Millennium, then Glencoe. But coming, we still have some great ones coming
up.
Yeah,
you've got some great ones. Let's talk about those. The Lincolnshire Art Festival, right? August 12th and 13th.
Yeah, so this weekend is a doubleheader. With Printers Row in the city, and if you're more inclined to go to a suburban location, we have the Lincolnshire Art Festival in Lincolnshire, Illinois.
So, Amy, what kind of advice would you give to like people that I'm surprised if there's anybody who is visiting your festivals for the first time since it's been around for such a long time. But what kind of tips do you have for somebody to how to navigate one of your festivals, or what should they look for?
Yeah, I have some great ideas for that. And they could be applied this weekend at Printers Row. They could be applied next weekend at Evanston Art and Big Fork in downtown Evanston. That's a three-day show. Or one of our biggest events is the Port Clinton Art Festival in downtown Highland Park the last weekend, August 26th and 27th. Those would all be great shows to look at art. So the first thing is look at your home or your office and figure out, where would you like a piece of art? And take a picture of it with your phone. And also get an idea of what size is it. Is it 2 by 3 feet or is it, 4 by 6? How big is your space? And then you can preview the art that's going to be at the shows by going to amderproductions.com. And we have pictures of all the art, like a representational piece or two. And you can preview the art and kind of get a feel for what kind of art you like. And you don't have to do that, but it's a nice option. When you come to a festival, if you're serious about art, I'd say come earlier in the day. Remember a hat, remember sunscreen before you get there so you can enjoy yourselves and not be thinking about other things. And we have programs. And then walk the festival. And on your program, if you see somebody you like, you can maybe, make a little mark or just remember who they are. Then go listen to some music, get some food, and then revisit the booths that you liked. And if you, talk to the artist and you fall in love with the piece and it's within your price range, that would be something, to really think about purchasing and adding to your home. Because, art is going to give you enjoyment year-round. And if it isn't a piece of flat art, it could be something that you wear, it could be a piece of sculpture. There's so many options. Let's say that you find an artist and you love the artist, you love everything they do, but the size is wrong. You can do something called commissioning, which is saying, I really like this piece, but instead of being tall, skinny piece, I need a long, wide piece. And you could have the dimensions. And then you commission them to do a piece specifically for you. Now, it's going to take a little time, because it's going to be made by the artist. But generally, the way you do it is you agree upon the size and the price. And you would give the artist half at the time of commission and the other half upon receipt of the finished piece. And so that's another way to buy art. So those are some things
that great tips.
People may not know. The thing is to take breaks at an art show and not get so tired that you can't see straight anymore.
Right. Yeah, well, that tends to be the way I look at an art fair. I just zoom through it and then I'm in sensory overload in no time.
Exactly. But at the bigger shows like Evanston and Portland, you know, two of the shows that we have that are coming up, they are big shows and it can take a few hours to walk through the whole mm-hmm. show. So, you know, wear comfortable shoes. That's also a really good
That's
tip.
That's a really great suggestion for sure. My last question to you is, you have a new online e-commerce site called artzipper.com. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about that? It sounds very intriguing.
Yes, well, you know, for the people who maybe can't get to a show or for the weeks or the months when it's too cold here in Chicago mm-hmm. to have shows, we give people the option of, the artists the option of having their art on artzipper.com. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of like an online e-commerce site for art, and you can see things, and the prices are there, the sizes are there, descriptions of the piece are there, and so it's another option. So a virtual option for art festivals.
It's a brilliant idea. I absolutely love it. I love all the hard work you do. You've got a staff of like 30 people. I put these shows on. I mean, you do all the planning and infrastructure and the marketing all in-house. You do it all, Amy, and I'm telling you, you do it so well. Award-winning Amdur Productions Art Festivals. Don't miss them. And go to amdurproductions.com for a full list of their festivals. There's a lot more coming up. And don't miss the Printers Row Art Fest this weekend. Amy, thank you so much for being on with me. And congratulations for all the good you do.
Thanks, Candace. Thanks to you as well.
Well, that's fun. I'm going to be at that art fest this weekend. I can't wait. I love art festivals, and I particularly love the South Loop one just for the reason she mentioned, that the backdrop is just so stunning with all those historic homes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and as soon as she said barbecue, that was the end of me. So I'm definitely going to be there for the weekend.
Well, you know, one of the things that popped to mind, and you and I have talked about this before, is like I have my sense of art is very different. You know, everybody's got their own sense of art, right?
Sure.
So I have artwork hanging in my studio. It's just different than a lot of art, right? I mean,
is that paint by numbers? Sorry, had to.
No, you're not. You're not sorry. You're glad when that happens. But I'm amazed at the different things that I would never have considered art. You know, which in the classic form that I have in my, I consider.
Yeah, like what?
Well, vinyl albums, covers, those are artwork to me.
You're right. Well, now they are. They're worth a fortune.
I know. And I, you know, just different things and posters and stuff like that. And then I was, you know, big fan of a lot of the art from, you know, the 1900s and stuff. So, I mean, I have it, but I don't think of ever going to an art festival. I think I probably should.
Yeah. Well, you know, here's the thing with me with art. I like old things. And so most of the stuff at the art fairs, although there are some, you know, vintage right. art festivals, and they do have older pieces, but I like 19th century, like oil on canvas, and, you know, those elaborate frames.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
I'm kind of stuck in the 19th century. So
yeah.
That's the kind of artwork I like.
Give me a couple Norman Rockwells. I'm good.
Yeah, well, you know, my girlfriend had one that her dad left her.
Wow.
And she just sold it, I mean, for six figures.
Oh, sure.
Of course. And it was small. I mean, it was like, you know, 10 by 8 or whatever. Yeah. And it was just, I mean, it's amazing how much some of these pieces are worth.
I take heart in the fact that my books will probably do better after I'm gone. Than they do while I'm here, but that's a whole other show.
No. Well, you've heard about the elephant artwork where the elephants paint with their snouts.
Yes, and you know what? A few years ago, my highly significant other got me some time with a rhino at the Brookfield Zoo, and I have a painting from a rhino's tongue.
Well, you know, there's a market for that, and I'll tell you why. Because the first elephant that did this, you know, because now all the elephants are artists.
Well, sure.
They all have their own exhibitions and everything else. But this first elephant that did this art, I mean, that piece sold for a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, go figure. All right. Well,
it is
I need
what it
to
is.
Grow a snout. Anyway, I am anxious about my next interview and first of all, she's a friend. I mean, she is a dear, dear, dear friend besides being just, you know, so accomplished in everything she touches. But she's also, I mean, the best travel expert, writer, reviewer. I mean, she goes on these fabulous trips and she documents them, you know, on her Instagram, on her podcasts, on her radio shows. And, you know, she's a contributor to WGN TV on Daytime Chicago. She's also a contributor to Chicago Star Magazine. I got her involved in that as a digital travel writer. But she really knows her stuff more than anybody I know. And I would trust her advice, her taste, over anybody in this business. So I'm thrilled to introduce Katie Keough, and it's Katie's birthday today. Happy birthday, Katie.
Hey, Candace. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited to have you. I mean, I have known you for so long, and I'm one of your biggest fangirls, and I've just, you're so funny on your Instagram. I mean, forget about travel, but you do the cutest, funniest little things on your Instagram feed, and it's at Katie Keough, right? What is your
Instagram? Yeah, at Katie Keough. You know, I have an improv background, and I think that's my true love is improv, so during COVID,
I didn't know that. Wait a minute. What do you mean improv background?
Yeah, so I started back in the day, with Tina Fey, Jason Sudeikis, Amy Poehler, that whole era, I was doing improv. So I got to meet all these amazing people. In fact, Jason Sudeikis and I were on the same team at Improv Olympics. We performed for like a year together. There was like six of us on that team. But yeah, it was like the highlight, you know, of my life. Now looking back, it was such a great time in my life. It was great, yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, no wonder. I mean, you are so funny and you're just so witty and you're very clever with everything. But let's talk about Let's Go with Katie Keough. That's your brand. And that's probably what people might know you best from. But you give the best advice on travel. How did you get started doing this?
Well, you know, to kind of take a step back, I had the show called 24/7 Chicago on NBC for 9 years. So that kind of started me. I mean, and in my dream as like a kid was to be on Saturday Night Live. And when that didn't, it was. That's all I wanted. So I came to Chicago to do Second City, Improv Olympics. And then when that dream didn't happen or that door didn't necessarily open for me, I was like, now what? So I started this TV show and that was in 1997. I think we went on air in 1998. They gave us like 6 weeks and we went on for like 9.5, 10 years. And so that kind of started the whole thing, you know, and then the irony of it all was I followed Saturday Night Live with my show on 24/7. So that was sort of like full circle for me, but so it's my love. But I started Let's Go. You know, I always tell people this, when one door closes, another, hopefully an even better door opens for you. Yeah. And you know, it came to a time, it was coming up to 10 years for 24/7, and I was like, well, you know, it's just time for that chapter to end. So that's when I started kind of Let's Go. I worked for Travel Channel. They initially picked me up, and then I went to Travel and Leisure, and then I went to National Geographic on the digital side, the travel side. So it just sort of found me. I wasn't necessarily a traveler per se, but it kind of found my, I started doing segments about travel, and then one thing led to the next. So yeah, I love it so much.
Yeah. What was your first travel experience that you was able to share, the first one?
Well, that was on, you mean like in terms of TV?
When you started on your own with your...
Oh, with Let's Go?
Yeah.
I guess that would be Ireland. I feel like I'm a bit of an expert in Ireland. I've been there, over 20 times. And so
is that your home country?
It is. Yeah, my grandparents are from Ireland. So my grandfather's... All his people are there. We have friends there. So for me, I feel like I go home to Ireland. So I feel like if anything, that's where I'm definitely an expert in the west of Ireland.
your photos and your write-ups are spectacular. I mean, you with the hawking and I mean, out in the moors. And I mean, the photos are just, do you take your own photos?
I do take a lot of my own photos, but I bring a team with me. And I've been working, you know, Agnes.
Oh, yeah.
Bono, and Matt Miles. They're a team that I work with, and they've been great. I've worked with them for over 10 years, and so he does a lot of my Nat Geo stuff, but I take a lot of my own photos, per se.
Because it's the perfect package all the way around. It's absolutely fantastic. So, so what are you working on now? I mean, you're an Emmy Award winner, two-time Emmy Award winner. I mean, you're so talented, and you've got 13 nominations, Emmy nominations. I mean, girl, you're blowing this up.
Well, you know, I always tell this story, Candice, when you and I met. I'll never forget it. I was working for 24/7, And Candace, you had your Candace, remember that? And you were on the red carpet. Candace, you were on every red carpet. Like, you knew you were at the right event if Candace was on the carpet with you. And I'll never forget this story, and I tell this all the time. You, nobody would let me in on the line. And I was trying to, like, get in to get the interviews. And everyone's like, this is our spot. Like, different networks would be in different areas. And you had your little spot, and you said, you can come stand next to me.
Aww.
And I'm going to tear up right now. You were so sweet. And I know people who are listening right now feel the same way about you. There's something really special about you.
Oh, God, so, now don't thank me.
But I never forgot that, Candace. And really, your kindness went a long way.
Oh, Katie, my goodness, God. Now, well, thank God I have no makeup on, so I'm not going to be ruining anything. Well,
I
love
that about you. You're our treasure. You're our Chicago treasure.
Oh, stop it. Well, right back at you.
You are.
Oh, God. Okay. Well,
it's true.
My little fan here. I'm just like, that's so sweet of you. I don't know what to say. But anyway, I'm going to ask you a question because, you know, we're all so busy. Nobody can get away. I mean, I can't get on an airplane. I mean, I could barely get an hour for myself anymore. So you're always giving advice about the best getaways. And I'm mostly interested in, like, getaways that are really close to home, like for a weekend or even a day trip. Can you give me a couple of ideas that might be suitable for somebody like me who's overworked and underpaid?
Line up, picture at every major party in the city, girl. You need a break. I was laughing because, like, everyone I knew was in Italy or in Europe this summer, except for me, right? Well, really, because it was so nuts, like avoid all that. So yeah, I would totally recommend, like, weekend getaways. But for me, there's two locations I would tell you about. One is New Buffalo, Michigan. It's an hour and a half from Chicago, on a good day, but still easy drive. You can stay at a place called, the Harbor Grand Hotel. It's right on the water. They have a new restaurant that they just redid everything called the Terrace Room. It is amazing. You feel like a million miles away from Chicago. And, you know, on a great sunset, you can still see the skyline of the city of Chicago. So it's really awesome. So I would say check out that place. There's a Chicago owner owns a place called Hummingbird Lounge. And that's in New Buffalo as well. There's another place called Farina Supper Club in Long Beach, which is nearby. They're Chicago chefs. I'm telling you, like, all these great chefs are moving to this New Buffalo, Michigan area, and it is like, I like to think it's the Hamptons of Chicago. It's kind of the
Hamptons. That's a great description. Yeah, I agree. That's fabulous. It sounds right. Yeah.
But if you're looking for a day trip, I've got a great day trip.
Yes. What?
Okay. Well, so I know a lot of you guys who are listening probably live in the city of Chicago, but, you know, the suburbs have a lot to offer. And DuPage County, I was just out with them. I did a whole project with them. They have the Warhol exhibit that they brought in. I think it's like over 98 plus pieces of his original artwork. So if you're like a Warhol art fan, you've got to go out to DuPage County. I think it runs through September 10th. Morton Arboretum is going on. Again, you get outside, you can walk. They have a new installation there by this Polish-American artist called Olga Zemska. And she did this thing, this project called Of the Earth, and that runs through next year, 2024. So that'll be around. But if you are looking for fall activities, DuPage gets you out into, like, the, you know, this gorgeous nature and art. And I loved out that way. So I'm a big fan of that whole area, Elmhurst and the whole DuPage
me too.
County.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, it is, even just going to the suburbs, you feel like you've had a trip. I mean, you're in a different environment. It's, wide open spaces, green spaces. And I love the Elmhurst Art Museum. You named one of my favorites. So
yeah,
there is
to
do.
Yeah, they really embrace nature and art. And I think that's cool. And then I loved Linfrid Winery. It's the oldest and largest continuously operating, let's see if I get this right, family-owned winery here in Illinois. And you wouldn't know it, but they pull all their grapes. Because at first I was like, I don't know if I like an Illinois wine. But I went out there, I mean, I'm being honest. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But they pull all their grapes from California. So you're getting these really beautiful grapes from California. And they create the wine right in their winery in, where is it? It's in DuPage County. I just forget the name of the town. But anyways, Linfrid Winery. And they have a wine called Vindy City. It's like $14 a bottle. It is so good. So anyways, I would recommend
that. Is
that
a red or a white wine? Red or white?
The Windy City is red, but I think they make a white too. I know you like white, don't you?
Oh yeah, Pinot Grigio,
yeah.
Full time.
Yeah, see, I knew you. And me, there's not a lot of wine I don't like. You know, I don't like to discriminate. Yeah.
I love it. I love you so much, Katie. Well, I have to ask you, you had such an incredible experience lately that you kindly wrote about it for us. And I want you to tell me a little bit about it personally, about your honor flight with your dad, Bill Keough, who was a Vietnam vet. That had to have been the experience of a lifetime.
It was. And I'm going to probably cry again here. I'm super emotional about it, just because it really is such an amazing opportunity. If you have a veteran in your life, it's just such a great way to honor them. And my dad's a Vietnam vet, so they didn't really get that respect that they should have got when they returned home. So it was like, I mean, we cried a lot, but you don't have to cry. I mean, we're just criers, but
happy
it was,
tears.
They're happy tears because my dad was like a celebrity, a rock star. And I mean, everywhere we went, they shook his hand. Thank you for your service. Welcome home. It was just amazing. And they take you, we started at Midway Airport. You get there at like 5 a.m. or 4 a.m. or something crazy. It was really early. Yeah. But it's worth it. It eeks. Yeah. But so we got there and then they, you know, there's like, they check them all in and everything. And there's bands at the beginning of the day. And then you get to Dulles Airport when you arrive in Washington, D.C. And there's people like children and adults and bands and music playing as you get off the airport. And they had like, what do you call that? Like a water, the fire team came out and it was like a parade, a water parade. And
oh, wow.
It was unbelievable. We had a police escort to the memorials. And so then we went to like the Korea Memorial because we had one World War II vet. We had a few Korean War, and then the majority were Vietnam vets. But it was truly an honor of a lifetime. And anyone can volunteer. Like you don't have to be necessarily like a relative. You can volunteer and become a guardian, or there's so many other ways to get involved. And me personally, like I can't wait to give that gift to someone else. Husband and I would love to volunteer, just be a part of it.
How do you volunteer?
You can go to their website. It's chicagohonorflight.org. And there's volunteer opportunities. I know that it's very coveted to become a guardian because obviously it's really like, you know what they say, like when you give back, it's a bigger gift to give than to receive, right?
Yeah.
So it truly is. It was a bigger gift for me than I think my dad. In a way, you know, because you're like, wow, to be a part of that was pretty awesome. So
Your dad is a very handsome man, Katie. I can see where you got your looks.
Well, I don't like to brag, but back in the day, they used to say he looked like Elvis.
Oh, well, he's a handsome man to this day, so, well,
well
I'm happy
he'll
that
love
you...
hearing that from you, Candace.
Well, I'm happy you both had that experience. What a lifetime experience. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah,
so tell
great.
Me where you're planning on going next. What's on your calendar?
Well, I've got a busy fall, but I've got two great trips coming up. I've got Yellowstone and Ireland. Yellowstone, I'm going to Cody. It's a little town called Cody in Wyoming. And then we'll go into the Yellowstone Park. And then I'm going to the west of Ireland. United Airlines has a nonstop flight from O'Hare to Shannon Airport. What that means is basically, I personally think that the west of Ireland is really the most beautiful. It's where they shoot all the movies. You know, like when you see all the movies, like that one Colin Farrell just shot, that was all in the west of Ireland. So it just kind of like gets you to that part of Ireland faster. And so that's what I'll be promoting with United Airlines coming up in September.
That's fantastic. You got the job of a lifetime, man. I'm telling you, everybody's so jealous.
Well, some days, but you know, it's a lot too. Like, I mean, everyone sees the fun part, right? But you know, there's a lot of behind the scenes. And I've got a daughter in high school. She's a senior in high school, and I don't want to miss out on her last year of her senior year. She's got volleyball and all that stuff. So I'm trying to like find balance, and I'm always searching. So I'm only going to take, you know, trips. I'm going to try to keep myself not as busy as normal, but you know, it's hard to say no sometimes.
That's not going
to
happen for you. I know it. Well, give me some tips for people that want to travel. I mean, maybe near or far or wherever. What are some of your top travel tips?
Well, I always tell people this, like, for instance, if you've never been to Ireland, don't go in the summer or really anywhere in Europe.
Truly, don't go.
You want to go in the shoulder season. So I always tell people, if you're looking for a perfect month to go to Ireland or really Europe, consider the shoulder season, which is September. September's perfect month. Also, May is a great month too. But September, the kids are back in school. You know, people have already done their traveling, so they're gone. So I always say you get a better deals and then just less people. So I would say that would be a big tip.
Oh, that's a good tip. Yeah.
And then also just be loyal to your airlines. I feel like you got to pick a side. You got to pick a team. Yeah. So pick a team and be loyal, because that really pays off. I get so many little perks, you know, just more legroom or free luggage or I'm an American girl, but, you know, United has great perks.
First of all, you're Katie Keel, okay? You're going to get perks no matter where you go. People know you. They love you.
So, well, I don't know about that, but thank you.
John, do you have any questions for our travel expert and my friend?
No, but I will just back up everything about New Buffalo.
Yeah.
Because, I know. It's so great.
Yeah. And, you know, Katie, what about the beer church?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's great. So it's an old church that they made into like this brew pub / pizza oven roasted. And it's the best thing, because you can tell your friends, like, sorry, I can't talk right now. I'm at church.
That's right, right.
Oh, my God. Leave it to you to know about that, John.
Well, oh, no, that is a great one. But, you know, Michigan City is coming alive, you guys. So that's where we have a place in Michigan City. They're putting a new train line in right now as we speak, so that you can take a train from Chicago to Michigan City in 45 minutes. So they're saying now that they're going to be, that's going to be bringing in a lot of people. They're knocking down things. They're getting rid of like a lot of buildings that are a bit of an eyesore in the Michigan City area. Like the prison, I heard they're relocating the prison, which was always like, I know, that was always sort of a deterrent. You're like, I don't want to be near a prison. I mean, it's not that close, but it's far enough. You know what I'm saying?
Yes,
so that's that, you know, when that's going away, the money will start coming in. So from an investment standpoint, Michigan City is going to be very interesting to see how it unfolds in the next few years. There's a little insider tip for you.
Yeah, because Michigan City is where New Buffalo used to be 10, 12, 15 years ago.
Yeah, and remember the what was that boat that sunk in the river in Chicago? What was the name of that boat?
Oh, the Eastland.
Yeah, the Eastland. Yeah. So that boat was actually heading to Michigan City.
Correct.
Back in the day, Michigan City was like the place to go, you know?
Wow. Yeah.
And they have really beautiful monuments there. And so they're really trying to revive it. And I think it's the place. It's so easy to get to. It's 1.5 hours from the city. I mean, without traffic.
Where would you stay there if you don't have a place?
You stay at my house. No kidding.
All right, everybody, you heard that. I'll give you Katie's phone number at the end of the show.
There you go. I personally, I mean, there's a lot of like hotels you could stay at, but quite frankly, I personally would stay in New Buffalo. It's only a 10-minute drive from Michigan City, but I don't know. I mean, there's like casinos and stuff there, but I would never stay there. So unless you don't like the people you're traveling, tell them to stay there. But if you like them, and they want to like a little night, you know what I'm saying? It's not quite there yet.
I got you.
But you know what actually has great ones is they do Airbnb. There's a place called Beach Walk, and this is awesome. Everyone who's from the area knows about this place. It's called Beach Walk, and you can go Google it online, and you can rent houses there. They're huge houses with guest houses, and that's a great tip. Because that's what I would do. I wouldn't go to a hotel in that area. I would rent a house, and you can go on Airbnb, and that's a great fun tip. And probably get some deals in the fall. And it's so beautiful there. I have had friends who come to our beach, and they're like, I have this girlfriend from Texas, and she's like, wait, I'm coming to Indiana. You have a beach in Indiana. Like, they don't think of, you know, Indiana. I'm like, it's Lake Michigan. So she showed up, and she said it reminded her of Florida. The sunsets they get on that beach in Michigan City and New Buffalo are epic. You feel like you're a million miles away. You feel like you're in Florida. And so to go there in the fall, that's another tip. Go there in the fall. I mean, it is just beautiful, and it's not as many people.
Oh, you've painted such a beautiful picture. I wish I was there now. Oh, my goodness.
I know. Me too.
Katie. Well, listen, I love you so much, and I'm so happy to have you in my life. And thanks for all the things that you do and share with everybody. I mean, we all need a Katie, and thank God you're here. So great tips.
I feel that way about you. Everyone needs a Candace. Whenever I know I'm at a party, I'm like, oh, this must be the good party to be at, because Candace is here. And it's the truth. Everyone is listening right now who loves you like I do will say the exact same thing. You're like, all right, if Candace is at your party, you've made it in Chicago.
Oh, my God. Well, your lips to God's ears, Katie. I love you, honey. Thanks for coming on with us. Thank you so much.
Of course, any day. All right, take care. Bye, John.
You too. Thanks, Katie.
Oh, how much do I love her? I can't count.
Count the ways.
Ways.
You can't even count them. Can't listen to you two. It's a love fest.
Well, it is definitely. You know, from the moment I ever met her, I have, there was, you know how when you connect with somebody on some other level that you can't put a finger on?
I do, yeah.
You know, you of all people know that. And that's how I felt when I first met her. And sure enough, after all these years, I mean, we're still friends. And I just, she's really special.
And just that really little special thing of you come stand next to me, that changes, I mean, a small, simple gesture like that.
Yeah, look at it. Huge ripple effect. Never forgotten it. I mean, that's absolutely amazing. Well, I'm glad I did that and didn't shove her away and tell her, you're not getting in my space. I could be evil too, you know.
Ooh, the evil Candace Jordan.
Well, you know, I missed mentioning something in the beginning, and I want to talk about this event that I was at on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I talked about it in the lead up to it, the Service Club of Chicago's fashion show, The Day on the Terrace. I've talked about it a million times on past podcasts, but it finally happened, and it was Monday, and it was at the Peninsula, and it was a SRO crowd, a fashion show, and I'm telling you, it was so phenomenal. It might have been, and I've been involved with all of them, and I mean, not as a co-chair, because the co-chairs are Gene Antoneau, Tracy Tarantino de Bono, and Cheryl Mackey, and they do such a great job. They've packed the room. The fashions were spectacular. It was from, like, local boutiques and local designers around Chicago, and the finale, listen to this. For the finale, they had the United States Marines escort the girls down the runway.
Wow.
I mean, when they came on, they played them on with the Marines hymn. You know, the whole crowd stood up, applauded, hands on hearts. I mean, it was so patriotic, and it was so inspiring. It was an incredible party. Incredible.
I don't know how, I've told you this before. First of all, I don't know how you and Chuck survive all these parties, number one. Number two, how these events, because you allude to this quite often, that they always seem to be able to outdo what they did the previous year.
I know. This is what is really amazing to me. I mean, I don't know how that happens either, but, you know, everything that I've discussed with you, it seems like every single event's better than the one before.
Uh-huh.
I don't know what the reasoning is, but it's certainly wonderful to see. And also, I want to mention that the fashion show part was produced by Zazz Productions. That's Tracy's production company, and she does a great job. And it was just awesome. So anyway, that was that. And now, you know, I'm just, as always, I have a few events to discuss. Number one event, though, I want to discuss.
I got to come up with a drum roll thing for you, or some sort of walk on music. Yeah,
but go ahead. Well, this Saturday, Dance for Life is at the Auditorium Theater. You know, they raise funds for the Dancers Fund, Chicago Dancers Fund, for dancers who need help with AIDS or, you know, money situations or health situations. And 20 of Chicago's top dance companies are going to donate their time and talent to help raise funds for this, which is awesome. The Illinois Holocaust Museum will host their annual soiree event on September 7th at Bryn Mawr Country Club. And listen to this. The Adler is bringing back their Celestial Bash, which is one of my favorite events. And do you know they have a new exhibit there called the Stargazers Hub? And they have the oldest telescope ever made that they're aware of. It was made in Baghdad in 1130. 1130!
Oh, gosh.
Anyway, that's September 9th, and it's going to be at the Adler, so I can't wait for that. Also, I mentioned the Navy SEAL Foundation's Midwest Evening of Tribute, September 13th at Navy Pier. And Navy Pier is going to have their own gala called A Legacy Experience, and they're going to honor their Navy Pier Board Chair, William Brodsky, and the Chicago Shakespeare Theater. There's going to be fireworks, a sit-down dinner, and a drone show. Won't that be exciting?
A drone show
on Thursday, September 14th.
Wow.
Yeah. And then Flair, as I mentioned before, that Chicago Lighthouse event is going to come up on Friday, September 22nd at the Ritz. We're going to honor my friend Tracy Tarantino de Bono. The Gold Coast Fashion Show is going to be at the casino on Friday, September 22nd. And Eversight will host its 25th anniversary celebration. I'm proud to return as the co-chair with Michael Caputo on Friday, October 13th at the Peninsula. We're going to honor philanthropist John Roback and Dr. Maria Cortina. So those are some of my top events, and I hope you can come to some or all of them because they're going to be fabulous. And you'll hear about it right here on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you can't make it, I'll still take you to the party.
Well, that is the perfect segue to the next whatever is going to happen here.
There you go. Well, that's about all I've got. Well, I did mention, I don't know if I mentioned that I have a new puppy.
Yes.
So I have a new puppy from Paws Chicago, and she's a little Spitfire. We initially named her Cricket because she's like a little, you know, hops here, hops there. But now I think I'm just going to name her Hellfire. She is a real ball of energy. But, you know, she's a pup. She's only 3 months old. So, you know, Chuck and I are getting adjusted.
Nice pause. Chuck and I are getting adjusted.
Yeah, but she's adorable. And pause, you know, I mean, all those animals are deserving of worthy homes. And so if agreed. You have the inclination, please go there and check out. They've got so many cute ones there now. I mean, it was hard to decide on just one. So
yeah, they're saving lives. And I think every time you save a four-legged, they save the two-leggeds.
Oh, that's well put. You're absolutely right. I couldn't agree with you more. Well, John, I think that's it. I think we're
I got one more for you, New Buffalo. By the way, I think we need to have New Buffalo as a sponsor of the show. Because, I mean, I'm sitting here going, I've been there 20 times. You've been there, correct?
Oh, hello.
Right?
Yes.
You like, and I'm
it's
thinking.
One of my favorite places.
Absolutely. And if you haven't been to the Round Barn Tasting Room.
No.
Where they have
that?
Small batch spirits, if you get my drift. Wines, craft beer, live music, and more. There's three locations over there. One is right outside of New Buffalo. Round Barn.
Goodness.
Oh my God! I still have growlers. I got to get refilled in my office, but not. Well, that's for another time.
What are some of your other places out there that you like?
Gosh, I'm trying to remember the burger place that's over there. Redimax, I think it is.
Yeah, Redimax.
Oh,
right, right.
Oh man!
Listen, anything that they serve in a plastic basket has me as a customer.
Isn't that right? With that little checkerboard insert
yes!
that you put it in, right?
Oh my God! Yes, yes, yeah. Yes.
And
I love
it. Katie was so correct about the beaches and the sunsets. We've sat there many times, and you can literally look across the lake and see Chicago if you like to, but you're not in it.
Yeah.
And you're not of it. You're just looking at it. And it is the beaches are great. The public beach is fantastic. There is a railroad that runs right there. I don't know where that emanates from. It comes from Chicago, but it runs right downtown.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Good stuff.
No, I love it there. I absolutely love it. We used to take lots of trips there when I wasn't working like a dog. But anyway, hope springs eternal and there is always fall. So
that's
I'm
right.
looking forward to a little trip. So. But anyway, well, thank you again, John, for all you do
to
make this podcast fly. And I hope everybody tunes in for the next one. And in the meantime, have a great weekend, and thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to the Candid Candace podcast. For more of what's going on in Chicago, go to CandidCandace.com.